series game is about as well as anyone. What improvement have you seen? I know you said he got a lot stronger. How does that kind of impact his game?
Yeah, I thought that quote that he had about Lindy's training camp and preparing for a little bit of a war was just a... just a good mature quote for him, for a young player, to have the years he's had in Rochester and then to understand and take in that information that, that Lindy's training camp is going to be a bit different and we need to raise collectively our compete and our work ethic and the standard of how we play. And he showed in rookie camp that he was ready for that. He didn't approach rookie camp with a skill mindset. He approached rookie camp with a compete mindset. And he was physical. He was hard on pucks. He went to the hard areas. And now he needs to do that up here. He needs to assert himself and play the same way he did in rookie camp in tonight's game.
What's this week been like for you? You were here a couple games last year. You've been around in camps and that, but you're here now. What has this been like for you this first week?
Well, it's really fun, but... it was really fun in Rochester as well, and it was really fun at USA and RPI in Denver. I love coaching. I love trying to help a team come together and understand where they need to go individually and collectively. The difference here is obviously it's the highest level of our game, and that's a fun challenge that I'm excited for. And then the opportunity to work with our whole staff, but in particular Lindy, it's just been amazing. Through the summer, the conversations into now actually being day-to-day together. There's a reason he's the fifth winningest coach of all time. The experience that he has, the understanding of what it takes to win at this level, both in how we play, but in our preparation as a coaching staff and what we need to provide for them. And so, but on top of that experience, how funny he is and how great he is to be around and how much you just enjoy coming to work with him on a daily basis. Good hustle.
As you look through the power play, I'm sure you've probably seen every power play from last year on tape. It just seemed like we're going to force the puck to Thompson no matter what, and almost there wasn't a plan B, even if teams were taking him away. What you see now that needs to be, because you basically are going to have the same guys. You know they have talent. What are your thoughts now with to make it better this year?
Yeah, I had some great conversations with a lot of guys throughout the summer, in particular Rasmus and Tage. The days of Tage just standing over there on the dot and hammering one-timers, they're somewhat over unless we can get the penalty kill into some level of chaos. Where they're out of their structure. And the only way you can get them out of structure is to have a shooting mindset. And so if you can have a shooting mindset, they converge and collapse towards their net. Say it kicks off in the corner, they're going to go pressure. Every penalty kill is going to go pressure that loose puck in the corner. Well, if you can come up with that puck by increasing our puck battle wins, that's going to be a massive piece of this. We need to win more puck battles in the offensive zone, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. It's really hard to score on a structured, fresh penalty kill. It's a lot easier to score on a tired, chaotic penalty kill. You keep them, if you win that puck battle, you keep penalty killers on the ice. Now their shift extends. Maybe it goes 30, 40, 45 seconds. They start getting tired. When you get tired, you make bad decisions. And now you can take advantage of those situations. So, number one, we need to score more dirty goals and have more of a delivery mindset on the power play from everywhere, not just from the one flank. And then we need to, as a group of five, win more puck battles so we can get second and third chances on that one possession instead of having one chance and it being sent down the ice.
You're going to be tasked with helping all of these forwards elevate their game, but how does your experience with the ones who played in Rochester really help you when it comes to working with them at this level as they try to progress and move further in their careers?
Yeah, I think that when you trust someone and you have a real strong relationship with someone and that person knows that your intentions are to help them as a human being, I think you can have incredibly honest, hard, direct conversations with them that lead to change and growth. And if the player doesn't trust you yet, or doesn't know you that well yet, or doesn't think your intentions are in that spot, you're not going to make much headway with them. That's coaching, but that's life. And so that's the way I approach coaching. So I have that advantage with the guys that have been through me in Rochester. And I think that also helps with the guys that haven't been as well, because the players talk in the room, and they know what the experiences were, good or bad, for the players that played for us in Rochester.
So what is that like with a guy like Jack, a guy like Paterka? You were hard on them out of necessity there. Now it's a different role. You're the assistant coach. They're established NHL guys, but they remember what you brought to the table with them in those hard times. How does that help you now, and that relationship keeps going forward?
Yeah, I'm going to be hard on them again. But they know, in particular, those two, we're referencing those two, they know that my goal is to make them elite NHL players and help us win. They know that that's where I'm approaching everything from. And we also, we've had some back and forth. It's not just, you're not lecturing. I've had those conversations with Tage and Dolls and Tucky. I don't want to just lecture at people. I would always say, and Jack was probably as much as more than anybody like this, I want an active participant in their own development and their growth as a player and how we run the power play and what we're doing as a team. And, when we're not on the same page, I have no problem with a player and I having that kind of discourse. I mean, you see it in football all the time. A quarterback's going to have that out with his coordinator. That's a healthy thing, that you have. You feel like you have a good enough relationship with each other, you can say kind of those things to each other and have those direct conversations with each other.
He's not playing tonight, but Noah Oslin, does he look stronger, more confident to you this camp?
He does. He looks stronger, more confident, but I also keep reminding myself that when I saw him the most is at the end of two long, hard seasons of pro hockey where he was tired, a little beat down, and a little bit injured, and in both times he showed up. And so that's a big difference, seeing somebody on the back end of 60, 70, 80, whatever it is, games in a nine-month season as a young 18, 19-year-old, and then you get them handed to you at the end of that. There's wear and tear that those young guys have gone through. And so what you're seeing now is a healthy, stronger Noah who attacked the summer and put himself in really good position to have a good camp.
Seth, how did you see Devin Levi roll with the punches last year, and what do you see from him as he enters this camp?
Yeah, I think that he has a certain more level of just added insight to pro hockey. Everything was new last year. He had the 6-7 games, whatever it was, at the end of the year before, but that's nothing. That you're riding a high. You just came from college. It's exciting. Everything you do is great, and nothing that bad that you do is bad, because it's all just, here's a young kid, let's see how it goes. And so last year is a full experience of a pro hockey season, and the good, the bad, the grind, all of it. And what I saw from him when he came to Rochester was just a young man that is not going to be deterred on his path towards becoming an elite NHL goalie. He didn't sulk. He didn't mope. He was a great teammate. Our guys in Rochester loved him. He embraced being an Amerk. He worked his tail off. He spends an incredible amount of time at the rink. I mean, that is a young man that preparation and how he goes about his process is zero issue. And so I was just incredibly impressed at how mature he took the send to Rochester, how much he embraced it, how much he wanted to win there, how good of a teammate he became. And when you do those things, you usually get back to where you want to be in the first place.
Lindy was asked yesterday, what kind of relationship did you have with Seth? And his answer was none. He didn't have it. He didn't know you. We talked about the Utica-Rochester series. He first noticed the way the team played was similar. How much of is that kind of a lesson almost that somebody's always watching, whether you're a player trying to break through, you're a coach trying to break through, that somebody's always watching? And you can use that with other players in theory, tell them that.
Yes. You never know what things lead you as a player or a person to a next opportunity. Kevin Adams and I met randomly when I was on a family vacation with Jeff Blashill, and we happened to stay at a lake that he was at. And 15 years later, he was still playing at the time. You know, there's no thought that this might be a GM in the NHL someday and that you could end up getting hired by him. You know, so you just don't know how those things are. And so I think you're always, you understand that as a person. The players need to understand that. And you always want to try to represent yourself in the best manner possible. You know, I believe in treating people the right way. I believe in you know, caring about other people. I believe in work ethic and competitiveness and the things. Those things are things. It doesn't mean I'm right. That's just things I stand for and I believe in. I want our teams to do those things. And when those things get noticed, you have opportunities to go on with your career.
Was it harder with Yuri Kulik? Because he said last week, he goes, he wouldn't be the player he is right now if you weren't hard on him. But when he came, there's a language barrier. Did he have a difficult time understanding why you were being hard on him when he first got there?
Yes. Yes. So did JJ. So did, you know, I'd say so did Viktor Nemchov last year. Language barrier probably plays into that. JJ spoke better English, but Yuri's English has become very good. But back then, that first 2 months in Rochester, it wasn't. I do remember a time that, you know, like we've done this angling drill in the first 2 days of practice. It's a hard drill. And exposes you when you're not very good defensively yet, or if you don't like contact or those types of things. And I would make JJ and also Cooley, respectively, I'd make them go first in line. Because those are the drills that the skill guys want to hide in, right? They want to get in the back of line. And I would just be like, JJ, Cooley, front, let's go. You know, and eventually, because they're really good and they're proud, they get better at it, and then they start taking pride in it, and they have to go first. They know I'm going to keep making them go first, and they become really good at defensive angling. And so, yeah, there was a moment of somewhere in the first 2 months that I brought Cooley in, and I had a page or two translated into Czech, printed out, to let him know why I was being so hard on him, how much I believed in him, and how good I thought he could be. And I wasn't doing it to be mean. I was just doing it for those reasons. But I really believed at that moment, like it was, I could feel like he was not understanding. He looked sad. He looked homesick. And I just thought in his native language, it had a better chance to resonate. Then I gave him a hug and told him I was going to be hard on him again tomorrow.
Seth, to kind of circle back to the power play stuff, when you're arranging it, how important is it to have a couple of different looks, setups? Because one unit's got two defensemen, another one's got one with four forwards. I know you innovate, you do a lot of different things when it comes to that, but for this group at the NHL, do you feel it was necessary to have two different looks?
I think we have the skill to have the luxury of different looks. We have, you know, four defensemen, probably, that could easily be on NHL power plays when Rass is healthy, right? So, you know, and if you can run different units on different sides and things like that, it's a little bit harder for penalty kills when they get out there and there's a little bit of orientation of, oh, okay, Tage is out here, oh, wait, he's not, and there's a one-timer on the other side now, and those things can lead to potentially little tiny moments of indecision by the penalty killers that you can potentially take advantage of. So in an ideal world, yes. And again, it was mentioned earlier, skill, I think by Paul, like skill isn't an issue. Skill is not an issue on our power play. It's not an issue on our locker room and our team. And that we just got to keep raising power play and 5-on-5, the standard, the work ethic, and the compete of the group so the skill can take over.
Seth, within the two power play units for tonight, is there one thing or one player that you'd love to see be a difference maker in each unit or something that you're really looking forward to seeing within each unit?
I think the biggest thing I'd want from the units is let's play as a unit of five, not as five one-man players or individuals, and let's win puck battles. And let's get second and third chances because we won puck battles and we extended possession. So, you know, playing as unit five is critical. You know, we can't play one-on-one hockey. You don't need to take people on one-on-one on the breakout and the power play. You utilize your teammates and the skill and the creativity of your teammates because you have a numerical advantage. And so five people that are playing as one collectively is important to me, and then let's have our compete so we win those puck battles to get secondary chances.
Knowing what you know about Jiří and what you just said about him, though, do you think he puts a little more on himself in a situation like this where, you know, we're watching all the other days of practice and stuff, and we know where he's been on lines and where he hasn't, but this is a power play opportunity?
Absolutely. He understands that. And, you know, Lukáš Hrušek understands that. Like, there's these moments that young players, you have to steal somebody's job. Like, people aren't just going to hand you jobs, especially with where we're at now, where it's time to be a competitive winning team. 3-4 years ago, the path for JJ and Sammy and Krebsy and Quinner and Oopie and those guys was a little bit easier. Not to say they didn't deserve it. They did great things in Rochester. But we're at a different stage of the organization where the path was cleared for them once they earned that in Rochester. Cooley and Rosie and guys like that have well earned that with what they've done in Rochester. But the path is harder now. And so you have to come and do what Cooley did in rookie camp, which is you'll make a statement with your competitiveness and your play that we need to have you on our team.
Sorry to make you go longer after 15 minutes, but Mike Leone, what makes him a good fit to be the head coach in Rochester? And what if, you know, early impressions, but I know you knew him beforehand, you guys know the same people, but just so overall, and, you know, what you knew about him coming in.
Mike is a fantastic person. That has just a lot of depth as a human being through the experiences and the adversities he's went through, and just a real unique perspective and appreciation and a gratitude. He's a very grateful person, carries himself that way, carries himself very humble, and so he. I think he's off to a great start. I thought the guys in rookie camp played their tails off. We looked like a competitive, organized team. That's hard to do in a little short tournament with guys coming in from all over the world and some that have never been here before. So it's a real credit to the staff and the job he did. And then he's going to go down and he's going to attack building relationships, which he already is, where, like I mentioned earlier, he can have those hard conversations and they're going to trust him. But he's going to do excellent things down there. Our prospects are in great hands with him and the coaching staff.